Now in your Bibles, please turn to the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, page 790 in your Scofield Reference Bible, and we'll be reading responsively verses 7 through 17. Verses 7 through 17 of the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. Let's stand, please, as together we read from God's Word. Once again, reading the verses responsively. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest, that which came out of my lips was right before thee. And the last verse together, please. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. And shall we pray? Lord, bless now in this hour. We pray for thy blessing and power and might, as we're here for a very important reason, that of hearing thy word. We pray for the preaching of it, the hearing of it, that thou wouldst indeed bless in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jeremiah said in the 17th chapter, in the 17th verse, he said, thou art my hope in the day of evil. In the 7th verse, he said, blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, I have hope. I could call the message take the title from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 17, where Zechariah speaks of God's people as being prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. As long as there's life, there is hope, somebody said. And this morning I want to talk to you on the subject, I have hope. Our Heavenly Father, this is the only time that we'll have a Sunday morning service on the first Sunday in December 1979. And if we get strength for this week from the Sunday morning service, it'll have to come now. So in these brief moments that we have left, I pray that you'd focus all of our attention on this wonderful word, hope. 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 Which brings a smile to the quivering lip. Hope. Which brings a sparkle to the saddened eyes. Hope, which brings a straightening to the drooped shoulders. Hope, which brings a song to the quietened voice. Hope. I pray this morning that whatever our lot in life may be, that that lot shall be flavored with a seasoning of hope. Hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank you that we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. And so this morning, help us to leave this place if we are not winning with a hope to win. If we're not well, with a hope to be well. If we're defeated, with a hope to become victorious. Burn a hope within our breast today. Amen. Several years ago, I received an invitation to to come and speak in the city of Pasco, Washington. I went out there, was met at the airport by a preacher that weighed nearly 400 pounds, as I recall. At least he was a big, big guy. And it was love at first sight. I liked the guy. First conversation we had, I liked him. He loved me dearly. He had been to our pastor's school here, had had his life completely transformed, his ministry changed, and gave the credit, much of it, to what he had received here at our pastor's school. After I'd preached there several times, I was driven back to the airport on Wednesday morning, and the big old guy used to be a state patrolman down in Mississippi. He stopped just before he got to the airport and looked over at me and put his hand on my knee, and he said, "Dr. Hiles, I appreciate all you've done for me," and with all the sincerity that you could see in a face, he said, "If you ever need me, or if you're ever in trouble, please call me." Now, I'll never forget how sincere he seemed to be, and how you almost think he hoped I got in trouble so I could call him. But I went back again to his church and preached, and then several months ago, I heard the news that he had been to the doctor and had tests and had cancer. He had to have one of his kidneys removed, and the fellows built the largest church north of Denver and west of Chicago, I guess, in the country. The largest church in the Northwest. One of the nicest, most sincere men you'd ever want to meet. I went out to preach for him again recently, and Dallas Dobson's just a shell of what he used to be. He's down now, weighs a little over 200 pounds. The doctor said that he has 60% chance to live 5 years. That means only 60% chance to live as many as 5 years. Has one of the worst kinds of cancer. And I talked to him, and I said, "How are your spirits?" And Dallas Dobson said, "I've never enjoyed life as much as I enjoy it now." I guess it's a shame, isn't it? We have to realize its brevity before we stop to enjoy every day of it. I said, what does the future hold for you, Pastor? He looked at me with sincere eyes and he said 3 words. "I have hope. I have hope." I couldn't get away from those words. Went back to my room, and way into the night I was praying for him, and I was thinking about those words. "I have hope." And I told you last Sunday and recently, I've had an awful hard time lately. Awfully hard time. I want to sing when I preach. I don't know why. But I don't want to quote songs anymore. I want to sing them. And you don't mean that when you say amen. But honestly, I'm getting the awfulest thing in the world. Before I know it, I have to stop myself not to sing. And cuss. I do sing an awful lot, and the Lord loves to hear me sing. And I was singing into the night, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. My hope!" Brother, when you've lost hope, there's nothing else. Hope. And then I sang. Got singing Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." You know why? Because it ends saying, "The hopes and fears of all the years are rest in thee tonight." Hope. Jeremiah looked at a dying nation with one heart, or one part of his heart filled with lamentation. and looked at the dying nation he knew was going into captivity. And Jeremiah could not help but say, "Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord." And again he said, "Thou art my hope in the days of evil." Zechariah looked at a half-finished temple and the discouraged people, frightened by the enemy's threats. And Jeremiah said, "We're prisoners of hope. The temple's not finished, but we have hope. The nation languishes, but we have hope. It looks like that it all is to no avail, but we have hope." And Jeremiah said, "We are prisoners. We're captured in the prison, in the cell of hope. We cannot get out of hope. We're enslaved to hope." David ran for his life at the zenith of darkness. And yet he said in Psalm 71, verse 4, "I will hope continually." Peter looked at a persecuted church, and in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 13, he said to those Christians, under the sword and the knife and the fire of persecution, Peter said, "Hope to the end. When you can't trust, you can hope. When you can't see the way, you can hope. When you can't dream, you can hope. When you can't believe, you can hope." Paul looked at baby Christians in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 and 19, and he said, "Lay hold on the hope that is before us." He said, if you can't have faith, lay hold on hope. Hope is the dream of those who are awake. Hope is the parent of faith. Hope is midnight's sunlight. Hope is the second wind of the unhappy. Hope is the storm's rainbow. Hope is the last thing that dies in man when everything else is gone. Hope is the shadow of a dream. Hope is the brother of faith and the sister of charity. For the apostle said, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity," or love, "these three." Hope is the travail of the soul as it travails to give birth to faith. Hope is the medicine of the miserable. It's the song of the dumb. It's the seeing of the blind. It's the hearing of the deaf. It's the walking of the lame. When one looks up and says, "I cannot see, but I have hope that I will. I cannot hear, but I have hope that I will. I cannot walk, but I have hope that I will. I cannot speak, but I have hope that I will. I cannot work, but I have hope that I will." And oh, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that one little thing, that little flicker of hope that burns in the breast of those of us who are God's people, though we have not what we want, we hope we will. Though we have not what we need, we hope we will. That hope is the thing that eventually, as you hope and hope and hope and hope and travail, so that faith can be born. For faith is that which God responds. And we have hope, and hope travails and travails. So finally, the beautiful offspring of faith comes. Hope. And you cannot trace him. You can hope. You cannot see the way. You can hope. When your wooded walk leads you to the very spot where you began your walk, you can hope. When you've lost faith, you can hope. When the last cure has failed, you can hope. When the last helper has fainted, you can hope. When the last leaf of faith has fallen, you can hope. Mr. and Mrs. Wilson, with a little girl who has leukemia, what keeps them going? What keeps the smiles on their face? Hope that beats within their breast. What keeps the Ericksons breathing? The hope that one morning Mrs. Erickson will wake up and she'll get out of bed and all of a sudden she can walk and throw away her wheelchair. Though she may not have faith to believe it, the thing that keeps her going is the fact that she has hope that someday she'll see again and talk again and walk again. Hope. What keeps the Gephardt smiling? Hope that one day he'll go to the doctor. The doctor will take the examination and say, "Your cancer is gone." What keeps them singing? Hope. What keeps them playing the piano? Hope. What keeps a couple going
whose daughter's gone into sin, whose hearts are broken because of her shaming the family name. What keeps them going? Hope that someday she'll come in at night and say, Mom, I've had enough. Dad, I've had enough. I've taken the last drink from the dregs of the cup of sin, and I know what the preacher said is true now. I now know what you taught me is true. What keeps them going? But night after night, they wonder where she is and how it is with her. Hope. Hope. What keeps the mother going whose son has gone astray? A tear drops from my eye nearly every morning on the broadcast when I read that prayer request that's so often called in. Pray that a son will call his mother. Oh, what that does to me. Pray that a son will call his mother. What keeps her going? Hope! What keeps the Dallas Dobsons going and preaching? Hope that someday, he'll get off his knees and the pain will be gone. And the doctor will say the cancer's gone. You can preach a lifetime. What keeps him preaching? Keeps the Belvis living. Hope. Hope that one day the doctor will say you can walk normally, Jack. Hope that one day the doctor can say you can speak normally, Jack. What keeps Mr. Job cheerful? Hope that one day he'll have the examination and the doctor will say the cancer is gone. What keeps Mrs. Butcher from despairing as she passed by a casket a few days ago at this altar and saw her 12-year-old daughter lying in one casket and her husband lying in another? What keeps her going? The blessed hope that someday soon Jesus will come in the clouds of glory and their bodies shall rise to be like Jesus and she shall be reunited with those whom are gone. What keeps Brother Olaf singing? Hope! Hope that someday the Supreme Court will say, open your homes, the church is free to operate without the interference of the state. What keeps the young lady in school whose bill is due tomorrow and she doesn't know how in the world she's going to pay her bill? Hope! Hope! That the next time the postman comes, he'll bring the money with which to pay the bill. I was in New York City. I read the sweetest story the other day. I picked up I forget what kind of paper it was, but New York City, and read a story. And I thought it was so sweet. A little boy was out in the yard, had a bat and a ball. You know how you used to do when you're a kid. Dave, you've done it thousands of times. Dave played ball by himself. That way he always won, and he hates to lose. And Dave had those bases out there and paths out in the yard, and he'd throw the ball up and hit it and run and slide into first. It's always safe. Never was out. And I've seen him slide into first and he'd get up and go like that. Safe. And slide into second. And this story, a little boy in New York City picked up his baseball and his bat and he threw the ball up in the air and took the bat and swung at the ball and missed it. And then discouraged, he couldn't believe he could miss a ball. Just throw it up like that and he picked it up again. And carefully tossed it up and took aim as it came down and swung it out again and missed it. Despondent and discouraged but not defeated, he picked the ball up again, looked at it and said, ball, I'll hit you this time. He took that bat, put it on his shoulder, took the ball and tossed it carefully up in the air that last time, watched it as it came down and took his bat, took a mighty swing and he missed it again. Threw his bat down and said, man, what a pitcher! Boy, I like that. I like that. Boy, in that one little story, your whole life could be solved. All your problems could be turned to victories in one little deal. Boy, what a pitcher! What a pitcher! And boy, if you feel the pain this morning and you hurt, and you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Holler and say, what a sufferer. What a savior. What strength I have. What power he gives. What grace I know. Hope, hope, hope is what keeps the light burning in the midnight hour. Somebody has said life without Christ is endless hope. Or with Christ is endless hope. And life without Christ is a hopeless end. We're never beneath hope while above hell. Did you hear me? We're never beneath hope while above hell, and we're never above hope while beneath heaven. As long as we have not yet plunged into eternity, there's hope! Hope! Hope is the dying man's tomorrow. Hope is midnight's noontime. Hope is believing when you can't see, and wishing when you can't believe, and waiting when you can't have faith. Hope says, I cannot walk today, but tomorrow I shall. I cannot see today, but tomorrow I shall. I cannot hear today, but tomorrow I shall. I cannot see my wayward boy today, but tomorrow I shall. I have hope. When I was a kid, we used to sing it, whispering hope, whispering hope. Sometimes the hope is loud and bright as noontime, but sometimes the hope is just a flickering candle at midnight, and you can hardly hear the sound of its vials. But it may be a whispering hope, but have hope. Have hope, have hope, have hope. Why? You won't have faith if you have hope. Titus, Paul wrote Titus in a difficult situation. Had a church he couldn't handle and people that didn't understand him. And Titus was discouraged. He wrote Paul a letter. And he said, Paul, I want a new church. I want you to recommend me somewhere else. The Apostle Paul wrote back to Titus and said, Titus, for this cause left I you in Crete. And he goes on down toward the end of the book in chapter 3 and verse 5. And he says, Titus, if you don't have what you want, if you can't be where you want to be, Titus, you can always look to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, the blessed hope. Oh, listen to me, whose loved one lies beneath the sod. There's a blessed hope! Listen to me, those who are sick in pain, there's a blessed hope. Oh, maybe I won't die until Jesus comes. A blessed hope. Maybe she won't pass away till Jesus comes. A blessed hope. Maybe at the cemetery, at the graveside, maybe tomorrow or today, Jesus will come. Oh, blessed hope. Years ago, my sister came home one day and brought the best news I could ever hear. I was 10. She was 18, I think. Maybe I was 9. She was 17. That was when she was only 8 years older than I am. She came home and brought me the best news any little kid brother can hear. She said, I'm getting married and leaving home. My mother cried all night long. But her crying was counteracted by my rejoicing. She did. Mother cried all night long. My baby girl. And Erlene worked at the Pollock Paper Company for $12 a week. She brought me a toy every week when she came home. Used as a baseball because I'd knocked the stuffings out of the one that I wasn't much of a pitcher. When I pitched up, I could always hit it. But she came to Mother and said, Mother, she said, could I have a cedar chest? You folks who are older know what an old-fashioned cedar chest was. It's where we kept the blankets and the quilts all summer waiting for the next winter. It's where we kept what extra towels we had. In our case, it was the other one. Mother said, what do you want it for, Erlene? And Erlene said, Mother, I want it to make me a hope chest. A hope chest is for her was an old cedar chest. And every Saturday was payday in those days. It didn't used to get paid on the 1st and 15th. It was always on Saturday. We called it Saturday. Saturday was payday. You always got paid on Saturday, went downtown on Saturday night. And so Erlene would come home on Saturday. And 1 week she'd have sheets and pillowcases that she bought with part of her salary. And I can see her now as she lifted up the lid and as she gently placed those pillowcases and sheets in the hope chest. And I can see a gleam and a twinkle in her eye as she closed the lid and locked it. And I can see a meanness in her eye when she said, you stay out of there! And I'd say, I'll be dead and you're gone. the next Saturday. She'd come in. She'd have some towels. She'd get the key to the old hope chest, the old cedar chest. She'd open it up and put the towels in there, close it and lock it. And then a gleam would enter her eye. She looked forward to the day when she could open it and remove all the things. Weeks became months, and months became many. And then one day, she opened it and took out everything she'd put in and took it away to her new home. Hope chest. One day I was reading the book of Genesis. The last verse in Genesis says, so Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. One of my good friends, Mel Rudder, said, Jack, you know what that means? I was a college student at the time. He said, you know what that means? And I said, no, Mel, what does it mean? And Mel said, Jack, that word coffin in the original language is also translated hope chest. Hope chest. He said, now read it. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a hope chest in Egypt. Yeah. Yeah. We buried a couple of folks the other day. We laid two bodies in caskets, and they rested across here. But when the lid was closed, it was not the lid to a casket, it was the lid to a hope chest. Ah, the hope that Jesus will come, the hope that we shall be like him, the hope that we shall soon see him, the hope that we shall see our loved ones. Hope. Hope! Hope! Hope when you can't believe. Hope when you can't work. Hope when you can't trust. Hope when you can't have faith. Hope! Tomorrow will be brighter than today. Hope. Dr. Dobson, Pastor, what are your prospects for the future? I have hope. 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 You say, preacher, how can you hope? The hopes and fears of all the years rest in that little manger of Bethlehem. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This morning, I have a lot of hopes. I have some hopes that sometimes it's hard to believe that they'll transpire, but I still hope. I still hope. You say, preacher, where do you get that hope? You get that hope when you come to Christ. All hopes begin at Calvary, and all hopes end at the rapture when Jesus comes again. And so this morning, my message for you is if you can't have it now, you can have hope. For hope is the shadow of faith. And as long as you can hope, you can know that faith is just shortly coming. Hope. Heavenly Father,